In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen. Today is our last traditional Mass of this particular Lenten season. We offer this Mass in particular for those who are most lost and need conversion within their souls, which, as our Lord points out in the Gospel, is all of us. This particular set of readings, take the first reading, for example. That beautiful passage that we have there from the book of Daniel is a continuation, like unto that which we ourselves had in the new form of the Mass just yesterday. Here we were picking up with Daniel and Azariah and Mishael and Abednego, who endured the fiery furnace. Well, here this passage of Daniel 3, verse 34 and through 45 is a prayer of Azariah. He who is more the spokesman, the leader, the outspoken one of this group of three. And he turns to the Lord God in those moments of preparing to enter into the fiery furnace, which were left out of our readings from the ordinary form. Something that could be prayed by the priest before he goes to celebrate every Mass. And something indeed that you and I would benefit from if we would pray before we enter into Mass every time. Because what is his prayer here? His prayer is, O Lord our God, for your name's sake, do not deliver us up forever or make void your covenant. He's facing the fiery furnace. And you and I are facing the fires of concupiscence within our own souls. The fire is the anger of those who oppose us. The fire of the world who seeks to destroy us. And the fire of the evil one who seeks to cast us into those fires which are meant for him alone. And it's a penitential prayer. Penitential song that is recognizing that we are not here to find favor with anybody within the world. We're not here to find favor upon our own account, but only to find favor with you, O Lord. It's a lament, really, of this exiled people. Remember, the Israelite people were often exiled, carried away into Babylon, and the only reason why Shadrach, and Meshach, and Abednego were spared and treated well is because they were princes of the people. They were thought well of. They were the smartest, the wisest, those who were of good and noble birth. They rose to prominence, if you read the book of Daniel, because they said they were going to uphold the dietary laws of their fathers and maintain their Jewish identity. And because of that, refusing the meats, the flesh, the wine, and the rich foods of the table of the Babylonians, God greatly blessed them and caused them to excel all their peers because they kept God's covenant. Here, Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego are recognizing that they can't offer sacrifice to God. That they can't do the things that were prescribed within the law for them to gain forgiveness of sins and to find favor in God's sight, which they would willingly do so, but they can't do it. And so he says, what is the sacrifice that you and I can give, even when we can't offer these sacrifices prescribed in the law? He says, with a contrite heart and a humbled spirit, just let us be received. All I can do is turn my heart into an oblation. All I can do is turn my heart into a burnt offering. Accept my lowliness as I'm laid low. Goes on and on to speak about that's the thing that will bring them mercy, is making themselves low in the presence of God, trusting that he would be their only help, their salvation. We see as well that within the gospel with our particular woman who's here, this sinful woman who is great in Simon, who refuses to love the Lord and accepts him merely because he knows that he's an important person and he wishes to show that because he is so great, that he would accept somebody great within his house, to have somebody there so that he can say that he did it, saw him closely, and later on would be able to comment when the Lord is not around about how he didn't do this or there wasn't this thing that was right about him, and use him as somebody who he could scoff at in secret. These are the reasons why he did not offer him the traditional customs of washing the feet or giving him the kiss or doing him great honor, which would be to anoint him with fresh oil. Yet this woman does that exact same thing. She is living out what that first passage speaks about, that being a humble and contrite heart. That passage there echoes what you and I know well in that 50th Psalm, or in the Protestant numbering as 51st Psalm. And there in that Psalm, it speaks of what? The great penitential Psalm, the Miserere. It says, with humble and contrite heart, O Lord God, the humble and contrite heart you will not spurn. This is the way in which this woman comes, and the way in which you and I come. Within Lauds of every day during the season of Quadragesima, the season of Lent, we pray that prayer in Lauds every single day. And in fact, I believe it's during the sacred Triduum, during every hour of the sacred liturgy, we pray that psalm in every hour, because we're begging God for mercy, begging him that his sacrifice of this new covenant of his own self would make us worthy to receive it in its fullness through passing through this time. That's a psalm of laying ourselves low of King David, where he recognizes his great fault, that he is conceived in sin and does nothing which is pleasing in God's sight, but desires only to be forgiven. And if he is, then he will go forth rejoicing and spreading God's name and his greatness abroad, for his mercy would be so effective for him that he would seek to make it effective in the hearts of all peoples. We see within this woman an example of what it is that you and I are called to do here at Mass, to love the Lord with such extreme and reckless abandon, and then our prayers will be heard. It gives you and I much fodder for reflection in the way in which we live our lives. If we do not actually pour out our most expensive gifts upon the Lord, if we do not actually seek to take such good care of his body, which is his church, with what we have, if we do not daily bow down low to kiss his feet, to dry him, to do these acts of love for him, maybe it's because we don't realize how much we've been forgiven. Maybe we see within ourselves something which is good and beyond, something which doesn't rise to the level of what maybe this woman needs forgiveness for. Such is the haughtiness of vanity and of vainglory and of pride, which is the greatest of all sins. For you could take every act of goodness ever worked within the world by any human being, and you could put that up against the smallest venial sin, and the scales would weigh all the greater on that single venial sin, because such is the attack and the assault against the perfection and holiness of God himself. Recognizing that great gift, where the Lord, at a single word of a penitential prayer, will forgive even a venial sin because he wishes to show out his great mercy to us, and at a single visit to the confessional box will forgive every form of sin, whatever that may be, in God's great goodness, how could we not act in every day so too as the same form as this sinful penitential woman? Why was she forgiven? It was because she loves much. She loves much. What it says in another place in the scriptures, it says, charity covers over a great number of sins. Charity, great love, covers over a multitude of sins. Indeed, what is spoken of here is true for us, that to the degree of our charity, we can be forgiven, which is why St. John of the Cross speaks about it in a so often quoted passage from his great works. He says, in the noontime of life, or the evening of life, those latter moments of life, before we sever this mortal coil, we will be judged on charity. We'll be judged on love. Because that love is the very thing which covers over whatever multitude of sins we may have forgiven or may have needed to be forgiven. So ask our Lord for the great heart of this particular woman to realize how greatly we are in need of forgiveness and how generous our Lord is in shedding that forgiveness. Then as a week from the morrow, we will once again experience that Good Friday where he pours it all out to his very last drop, so that in the time that we have left in this week that still remains to make good and worthy preparation, that as we say so often during this season, having died with Christ, so too may we rise with him to the fullness of glory. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen.